Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
It's not Ollie!
It's not Ollie because Ollie is being Lord Business.
I got to do the business things. Business, business.
Business, Davis. So it is you and I today on Wrestle Ramble. Free Raw episode that was poor, but massive step up from the last couple of weeks. So,
Hey!
Lovely stuff. How was your weekend?
It was good. What did I do this weekend? I completed Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu.
Nice.
In anticipation of getting Smash Bros. Ultimate on Friday, which I've already downloaded. So I was making sure I got through all the Elite Four, etc. on that. On Sunday, as a sort of relaxation day. Had a lovely time at your house on Saturday. Played the Resistance, didn't we, and a bunch of other...
Yes, we certainly did.
...computer games. That was fun. Busted out your hacked Xbox.
Yes, my modded Xbox.
To play...
Tekken 3.
Tekken 3, but at a far higher frame rate. Not even, like... I'm not even talking about the difference between having the PAL version and the American version of Tekken 3 on the PlayStation. This was at, like, double speed. This was like... this wasn't, like, at 25 frames. This was... or 60 frames. This was at, like... 200 frames. It was it was so hard to do moves because everyone was like around the screen.
Yeah.
What a game, though.
Modded Xbox works brilliantly for arcade and Mega Drive stuff, which is what I mostly use it for. But actually, I mostly use it for arcade stuff, so I can play four-player Simpsons and four-player Earls. I've rarely tried to use like the N64 and PlayStation stuff they've got on there because while I'm sure they're fine, I think I'd much rather just pull out the PlayStation and just bring up an actual copy of it. Like, if I want to play Resident Evil 2, I'll take out my PlayStation from storage and I'll just plug a Resident Evil 2 in rather than try and play on emulation.
We did have quite a good game of Smash Bros. That drew quite a crowd. of me versus one of my mates. I was Link, he was Donkey Kong. And he was jammy as balls in winning the match.
Who were you playing against?
Mason.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but he... I got shot off twice by the ships on Fox's level, and then Adam landed next to a hammer after I hit him that spawned as he flew through the air, and it just went boom, and I was like, oh, for crying out loud. Can't catch a break.
Come on, man.
Yeah, and then Zombies Ate My Neighbours, we played that as well. Which
I missed on that.
What a lovely game.
I love a bit of Zombies. Zombies Ate My Neighbours, quality game.
Yeah, I got stuck at the exact same point that I got stuck at as a kid, the pyramid level,
where
it just locks you in. And I was like, how do you get out of any of this? What a ridiculous game.
What a ridiculous game. I've got a very odd Rusev Hay here to read out before we get into the show that says, I was at a party years ago, brackets wrestling theme. I enjoyed the wrestling the dad had booked as he was rich after the OK matches Meltzer would rate 1 star. I go get an autograph as I could sell it and make money as I wasn't a fan yet, and got some up and corners that now run up in ROH and the event Up and Comers that now run up in ROH, RPW, NJPW, Defiance, WOS. I can't remember the names, but I lost the poster and realized recently that some great wrestlers I met at a birthday party years ago. That, not really a Rusev Hey. That's definitely a Rusev Nay, because you couldn't even give us names. I'm glad you met some people, but I've no idea who you met.
I've met many people.
I've met loads of people.
Mate, I can't stop meeting people.
We've got this one here from Austin Everhart that says, hello, Luke, Ollie, and El Fakador. My name is Austin, and I've been a Patreon supporter for over a year now and a subscriber for over 2 years. I've never had a reason to email in until recently. I attended the NXT War Games pay-per-view with my dad and ended up getting floor seats. I believe I sat right behind the people, the couple of people that were on their anniversary that recently emailed in. You weren't here for that episode, but we got an email in from a couple that went to the TakeOver and the SummerSlam show.
Sweet.
And they were sat next to the long-haired guy and his mum.
Oh.
And that was their Rusev hey. They sent in a picture that they had taken with
the guy.
Those. Yeah.
Who is he? Who is he?
Well, it's like Evolution. It's a mystery. Mm. Well, it's certainly a mystery of how he can afford to keep going to those shows and the lifestyle that he builds. But yeah, anyway, back to this email. As me and my dad took our seats, I heard a noise from behind us of fans asking for a photo. I then turned around and see none other than a battered and bruised David Arquette, less than 24 hours after his death match. I quickly humped the seat and asked for a photo, which he gladly accepted before heading to his seat. I'm glad I got this picture because, as the guys say, pics or it didn't happen. I have attached the picture to this email. I just want to thank you guys for the entertaining and consistent podcast. Keep up the good work. P.S. I was just wondering if maybe I missed in the news or anything, but I've heard little or nothing about the wardrobe malfunction in the Ciampa versus Dream match where the camera facing the crowd got full on Ember Mooned by Dream as his tights fell down from Ciampa hooking them while on the ropes. There were even chants of pull your pants up, which can't be heard on TV on the pay-per-view. Do you remember that?
I do not remember.
I don't remember that either. But there is a picture of David Arquette and our friend Austin.
Oh, he looks mangled, doesn't he?
Oh, bless his heart. But nice Ric Flair t-shirt with David there.
Well, he looks like he's wearing very comfy trousers as well.
Oh,
David
man, he's
Arquette.
Gone in his PJs.
Yeah, he's absolutely gone in his PJs.
Those do look like comfy pajamas.
Like a rah in the co-op, he's gone in his PJs.
Thank you so much for sending in that Rusev Hey Austin. Very much appreciated. We've got another one here from Kieran Witten. Hey, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie. I want to start by saying thank you for all the content you guys put out. My car journeys wouldn't be the same without listening to Wrestle Ramble. Brackets, BTW, the intros and outros are the best part. Close
yeah,
brackets.
They are.
Oh, bless your heart. Keep up the consistent work, guys. I did get a tweet from someone over the weekend that said that our intro to the last podcast, the Saturday one, where we were opening up Marcel's package, was the cringiest thing they'd ever heard.
Is that just because of the eating?
Could possibly be.
Maybe they've got that sort of skin crawly people eating thing.
Or it was just unlistenable audio. I mean,
yeah, true.
It could be either way. I mean, we had fun recording it, I can tell you that much. But sometimes that doesn't always translate into actually good audio.
Yeah, I mean, you approached it like a pair of toddlers, really. I came in and you were just going, what's this? I'll put it in my mouth to find out.
Actually, we got an update on the package, which we'll do in the outro of this show. So, yes, Marcel, we will read out what you did send to us because he actually did leave instructions in there. But Ollie Davis opened up the package upside down.
And then, like a proper set of lads, you were just like, it's probably no instructions. And I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, also, like a proper fan, I was the one that got blamed for it. Anyway, back to Kieran's email. Anyway, I recently attended ICW's Fear and Loathing 11 show at the SSE Hydro in Glasgow. It was an amazing show all round. I did hear it was incredible. Mm. I would definitely recommend watching it if you have the chance. I would love to. Because I had a VIP ticket, I got the chance for a meet and greet before the show. I met British Strong Style and Jeff Jarrett. As you can tell from the pictures I've sent, Pete Dunne was super excited to meet the fans. After the show, I was in the Cat's House Bar for the after party where I ran into and in some cases shared drinks with Jimmy Havoc, James Storm, BT Gunn, Mark Dallas, Mikey Whiplash, and also Jennifer Louise from your favourite YouTube channel ever. Oh, I think that's a sick burn there because she works for Cultaholic. By the way, James Storm arms are bigger than my house. Keep up the good works, guys, and a happy late birthday. It's not late at all. It's not my birthday for another couple of weeks. That's from Kieran. So here are the pictures he sent across. This is him with James Storm. Can't really see his arms there,
no,
but
they look big.
They do look big. I bloody love James Storm.
The suggestion
Storm.
Is there.
And
I've seen quite a few pictures of Pete Dunne pulling this exact face in the photos.
That is a great picture of him with Pete Dunne, who, as Kieran says, looks like he's thrilled to be there. Oh, amazing. God bless Pete Dunne. Yeah. Quality stuff, though. Thank you very much for your email, Kieran. I'm glad you had a great night. And I heard it was a really, really good show.
Me too.
Our friends were also there from WRWR podcast, who seemed to have a lovely time. They were wearing our T-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
God bless them.
Repping the fake door.
Absolutely. But anyway, we're going to crack on into the show now, talking about Raw, but kicking off talking about this supposed women's tag team titles that keep getting teased. Are they coming? Are they not? Let's find out. Here's the show. Raw last night had quite a lot of stuff happen on it. You and I were talking just before we came, before we pressed record, that there was an awful lot on this show. And I would say, overall, it was better than the last 2 weeks. But when the bar is so low, it's easy to trip over it.
And if you are at the bottom, the only way is up.
You can't go any lower.
No, you can stay low.
Yeah.
Or you can go up.
That's what it is.
You know.
So post Survivor Series, they were right at the bottom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then week after, they just thought, well, let's stay here. I'm quite comfy now. Mm. And then this week, they thought,
I've made a bed this week. So
and this week, they were like, nah, I suppose. Oh, hello, just tripped over it. Well, now we'll go up slightly. So I thought it was a better show. But this opening segment, or I suppose the second segment on the show, was a repeat, a control C, control V of last week's segment, where Alexa Bliss called down Bayley and Sasha Banks and got them in the ring to do like this open forum thing with Charlie Caruso walking around to get questions. And it was odd because Bliss was sort of babyface in this segment.
Yes.
Sort of.
She was snarky.
Yeah, but at the same time, she was like, I'm really sorry that Alicia Fox and Dana Brooke and Mickie James did that attack on you last week. I told them not to, and I've reprimanded them for doing so. And you're like, oh, okay, well, you're a heel, so clearly you're just making
you're lying.
You're lying, clearly. But then when Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke, and Mickie James do run out later on, Liz is like, no, I told you, you're not doing this. Mm. We're going to have a fair tag team match instead. I was like, oh, okay.
Fine. I liked a bit at that point as well. She was like, Dana, you can stay here if you want. Like, you're not in a match, Dana, but you can hang out.
What else are you going to do,
cool,
Dana?
Man. That's cool, man. Hang out.
Yeah.
Hang out.
So, but one of the key parts of this is when they were doing the sort of open forum thing and they were talking to these planted fans around the ring, one of the people asked, you know, what do you want to do in 2019? Mm-hmm. What do you want to change about women's wrestling in 2019? And Bayley says they want to be the first ever women's tag team champions. And that got a decent reaction from the crowds. Mm-hmm. Probably a bigger reaction if they'd have announced it at Evolution.
Yeah.
But it did get...
And also if the rest of the segment hadn't have happened up until that point.
Well, yeah. Good Lord, yeah. I was begging for this segment to end.
Fill time. Charlie Caruso can't move that quickly. You should have just put all four of the people that she was talking to in one place.
In one place, yeah. Because bless her heart, she was running around. She didn't know which point she was meant to be at next.
No, she was just looking like, what? I don't know.
Poor old Corey.
Bliss did a very good job of filling for time.
Yeah,
Banks and Bayley was struggling.
And Corey Graves was just making fun of poor Charlie Caruso.
She looks like a Jedi. Obi-Wan Caruso.
So, yeah, they were teasing that perhaps next year we are finally going to get this women's tag team division. A tag team division, it feels like they've spent all of 2018 building because they've got Bayley and Banks on Raw along with the Riot Squad, Nia Jax and Tamina, Rousey and Natalya, you could argue. Mm-hmm. They even had for a while Bliss and Jax.
Mm-hmm.
You got
Trish and Lita floating around.
Trish and Lita were floating around there as well. Good shout. And then on Raw, you've got Naomi and Asuka.
Yeah.
They were a tag team for a bit.
The Iconics.
Iconics, thank you. Mandy and Sonya, although they might be splitting up as well. God, you're so much better at this than I am. I can't remember who's on the roster half the time. And that's because I keep thinking of Lana. I'm like, who's Lana teaming with? I suppose she could team with Carmella.
She could do.
Dance partners. So it just feels like they've been doing this thing to build up these female tag teams. Mm. And we keep been saying, like, is it going to happen? Are they going to pull the trigger? Maybe they're going to announce Evolution. Maybe they're going to do a tournament to culminate at Evolution. And it just never happened.
Mm.
WWE were handing out signs to fans saying, we want a women's tag team division. So clearly the company wants it.
Yes.
And they want to portray on TV that fans want it as well. Mm. And yet they've been so slow to pull the trigger on it.
Just get the belts, man. Like, just do it. Like,
if you're going to do it, just do it.
Yeah, well, I don't understand. Because they were, they pushed all that stuff to the floor as well. They let Becky Lynch go out there and say all this stuff before. She was the man. She was the woman who was talking about the tag team titles.
Yep.
She was going out there saying that was her idea and she wanted them to be traveling, et cetera, et cetera. Stephanie teased it a few times as well during that build-up thing, and then like all the way through to Evolution, then it was like, yeah, we're not doing that.
No.
Like, they'd said it in press events, they'd said it to like calls with
investors
and stuff. Like, why wouldn't you just do that? It's just another thing for people to do that makes things, because the women on Raw and SmackDown, generally speaking anyway, just have tag matches. If you have belts, it makes that seem like it's important, because otherwise it's just, with nothing for you to do.
They do have a lot of tag matches.
Tag matches.
It's a big thing in women's division.
We have run out of ideas.
And it sometimes feels that WWE, the only way they know how to do feuds is if there are belts on the line. Because if you are not after a belt, then you are after nothing. And you are just more or less doing nothing. And that's within the women's division. If you're not going after the women's tag belts, if you're not going after Ronda Rousey, or if you're not going after Becky Lynch, then you are just, you're doing nout.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, you're not being friends with someone anymore, and that's the problem. Yeah. You broke my friendship bracelet. Oh, I'll get you.
They had that with Nia Jax and Ember Moon later on, and they didn't really bring up the fact that supposedly they were best mates like a month ago before Nia did her turn. But they did call her protege at one point. I was yeah, bollocks, mate. No, she wasn't. So
busy buds.
So come 2019. Are they going to announce these? Finally, are we going to get this tag team division that we've been teasing? Or, as you say, is this just another tease in a long litany of teasers?
You would hope so. I think, like, possibly the other reasons behind this is because there's been so much other stuff this year. There's been Evolution. There's been the Mae Young Classic 2. We've had to have the whole of NXT UK introduced, and that's got its own belts. So, like, there has been a lot of belt-related palaver this year.
Heavy on the belts of WWE.
North American
right now.
Championship as well. Like, all this stuff, like, it's... all of these new things are coming in, so like maybe it's a step too far this year to do the tag thing. But then why have we been bothering to set it up? Like, why didn't we just like really low key stop people talking about it, move a few people into position where it seems like that could happen?
Yeah.
And then when you want to pull the trigger on it, you can do it, because at the moment it just feels like everyone's in a tag team and no tag teams have anything to do.
Yes. Well, I mean, the Riot Squad have got ties to cut and mustard to put on doors.
Yeah, mustard to spill. But I think the problem is also, like, watching it, you're like, oh, if you're in a tag team, you're never going to get the title. Like, you know, you're better to be in an alliance than in a tag team, because it seems to be a waste of time to be like, we're actually like a literal named tag team and we'll never get a shot at anything.
And if they were to do women's tag titles, which I think they've probably got a bit of roster depth to do now. I think they probably do need some more names to kind of like fill out. But if you are going to do these tag belts as what Becky Lynch proposed, which are touring belts that they are either on Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK, and essentially they're just all the women in all four brands just always have these matches between fighting over these two belts rather than having a Raw women's tag team.
Because
if you have that, the roster is not deep enough for it.
No, you've got two tag teams per brand.
Pretty much, yeah. And you're knackered. As soon as you've had that one feud, you're then scuppered and you've got nothing else to do.
But the tag belts make perfect sense in that regard, because you obviously can then use the depth of talent that WWE is building up globally now, but you also get the chance to bring a legend in for a brief run where they team up with somebody and they go after the belts. And that's a good way to, one, hide the fact that they might have a bit of ring rust or whatever. You put them in there with someone like Sasha Banks or Bayley or someone at the top of their game, and then but then you also get that pop for being like, oh look,
yeah,
someone's back.
Absolutely. And like Banks and Bayley in this even tease that the match they want is against Trish and Lita. They want to have a tag team match with them. They want to be the first tag team champions.
At Mania. No less. That's probably happening. I mean, that's probably happening in the sense that, like, I don't know.
That card is already getting filled up.
Nothing else for anyone to do. Let's do that for 10 minutes.
Randy Orton and Batista will need 45 minutes. Yeah. I'm not sure we got room for...
They will need 45 minutes.
They'll just need it. Especially because if Triple H isn't going to be part of that match and it is going to be Randy filling in for him, then they will get that requisite 45 minutes to really show off what they can do. And I like Batista and I like Randy Orton as well.
Big things.
Do not need to see 45 minutes of them. But, so, question is less, do we want these belts? It's more a case of, do we think, or do you think, I'd rather pose the question to you, do you think that Bayley and Banks should be the first women's tag team champions?
No.
Who would you pick instead?
The reason I don't think Bayley and Banks should be the first women's tag team champions is because I just think it's a shame. I just think it's like them winning the tag belts is like the consolation prize to what them on the main roster could have been. And that's why it annoys me. Like the whole, we've done all the setup for the Banks and Bayley feud that was so amazing in NXT. Why haven't we done that and we're doing this instead now?
Because we were holding off on that so we could do this tag team thing.
I just hate it. I hate it so much, Luke. I hate it. I don't know. Who would I have as the inaugural women's champion?
See, for me, if I was to answer the question, which I will do now, I'd pick the Iconics. Because I think the Iconics...
I was just about to, for a laugh, say the Iconics.
Because I think like the Iconics have done sweet FA since coming up to the main roster. Like, they've been treated like an absolute joke, which is a real shame because they're a great act together. They can get... If given a chance, they could generate some genuine heel heat. But at the moment, they're given pretty naff material sometimes. So a lot... They come out to crickets. Mm. And they've been treated like a joke.
Yes.
So the heat that they try and get means absolutely now because everyone just looks at me and goes like, well, you just lose all the time. So
yes.
I'm not going to boo you because you say that my town is smelly.
You're not even worth booing.
You're not even worth booing. But if you treat them with a bit more seriousness and you push them as a legitimate threat and then they win the tag titles, then they are like, they're iconic and they can brag about being the tag champs and the inaugural tag team champions. That adds a wrinkle to their characters that is more than just, we are friends, also we're not American. I think only character.
Yeah, I worry that devalues the belt slightly because of the way they are viewed.
Yeah, you'd have to build them before you give them the win.
So my new one would be to go for, and this will take some doing because they're currently involved in something, but Kairi Sane, Io Shirai.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's good.
I think they both have just the star power to pull it off. They're obviously not quite as big as anyone who speaks English in WWE.
And really, they only have star power to that NXT audience.
Yes,
which
absolutely.
Which we know is so much smaller than the Raw and SmackDown.
But I think them winning the belts would seem like this cool thing. And I mean, they don't have to have it for a little bit, but I don't want it to be like, and the first people to win the belts were...
Heels.
Oh, boring heels who haven't really done anything.
Cheating to win.
I'd like to see someone who is actually like, you know, in the terms of the women's revolution and the women's evolution, like, let's have someone who's like an amazing wrestler win it.
Yeah.
A team that's both amazing wrestlers.
And I also think like the kind of the brilliance of doing it as across all four brands, if that is the way they're going to do it, which I really hope they do, because the brilliance of that is that if you have those belts defended on Raw, and it is Kairi Sane and Io Shirai, Ayup Shirai, defending those titles on Raw, you can push these two as like, these are NXT talent. You can watch more NXT talent like them by signing up to the WWE Network, and you can watch NXT every Wednesday. Mm. It's why it's always baffled me that WWE have never used their main roster shows, which have a much wider audience than NXT currently has, to tell people, by the way, NXT's ace... And you can watch more of that by getting onto the WWE Network. It's the same with the Cruiserweights. 205 Live's brilliant. You can watch it every single Wednesday if you sign up to the network and give us money.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you give us money, we can show you an amazing product. But actually, what they do is like, no, don't do that. Don't give us money. We're just going to hide it away over here because you only pay for it if you know it's there.
We're basically not going to mention that Lucha House Party is a team of Cruiserweights.
Like, what? That's such a backward way of thinking. Yeah, like, surely. Oh, man.
Like, so, every time they come out and they do these amazing flips and stuff, you go, you can watch all of that again on 205 Live, but with other guys who also know other types of flips.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But also, they make more sense on 205 Live where they're not in Lucha House Party rule match, whatever. So, oh, crikey, we'll get to that.
Casual. Foreign match.
Pinata.
Still on stuff.
So I do hope we get them in 2019. I mean, my push for the Iconics is more based around the fact that I just love the Iconics and I'd like to see them given more credence than they have been given on the main roster.
True.
But I like your idea of giving it to someone like Kairi and Ayup Shirai. Or like the horsewomen.
That was my other.
Yeah, giving it to like Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir. Like that's their first big win, is getting those tag team titles. And yeah, just using these titles to kind of like push these other brands and be like, you buy the network and you can watch more of these. You can watch the tag team. If you want to see the women's tag team titles defended, you'll need to get the network so you can watch a NXT TakeOver San Jose or whatever. You know, just like, so I think that'd be a really good use of those belts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But we're officially kicked off with a 10-bell salute for George, not W. Bush, the other one.
H.W. Bush.
H.W. Bush, thank you. George Bush Sr., the one that was on The Simpsons, but wasn't really him that was on The Simpsons, just someone doing an impression. But the show kicked off proper with Ronda Rousey and Natalia versus Tamina and Nia Jax. At least that's what was supposed to happen. Mm. But instead, Tamina came out to an incredible lack of reaction. Like, it stuns me every week how little a reaction she gets.
And she does not look like she wants to be there either, is the other thing. Like, Tamina, it's not a smile and it's not a scowl. She has got resting no face. Like, yeah. She's not got any emotion. She walks out just like, so I'm here.
Hello, I am Tamina. Match now. And she has quite the moment later on. It's not her fault, though. But as this match is about to get started, the Riot Squad come down and sort of cause a distraction. And that it ends up being a brawl. And you've got Nia and Tamina beating up Ronda. And you've got the Riot Squad beating up Natalia. And eventually, they put Natalia through a table, perhaps setting up a Natalia Ruby Riot tables match at TLC.
Or potentially the Riot Squad and Natalia and random mates.
Could be, but there are no more left because all the other ones are heels.
Sasha Banks and Bayley don't have anything to do they?
Oh, yes, true. They haven't got anything to do. And there's also Ember Moon.
She's a great stand-in friend, as we find out later in this.
So yeah.
So my friend's arm hurts. Who's about?
No, you've already had segments. Oh, Ember, you're literally the last person left.
Sorry, Ember. Put down the dice. Stop playing D&D. Come on, get in the ring.
So unfortunately, that match doesn't take place, and instead Ronda is helping Natalia backstage, and she's looking for some help, and Ronda does mean face to try and set up a match.
I
later
love
on.
When Ronda's looking for help, and she just goes, "Can I get some help here?" to like some guys who are literally as far away from her as you are from me. She's just shouting in this medic's face. It's like, they are already there, Ronda.
They were
like,
on
the
their
speed
way.
That they arrive at.
They were on their way, man. Also, It's a slight arm injury. It's not 1945. You know what I mean?
Natalia is hamming it up, isn't she? She's like,
my arm!
Mama, she's going to the table, Mama.
Tell my son I will be there this morning. We then got more women's segments, which was the Alicia, crikey, what's wrong with me today? Alexa Bliss segment with...
You're not the only one who couldn't get the names right in this segment.
Crikey, apparently not. With Alexa Bliss, Bayley and Banks, which then brought down Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke and Mickie James, your generic heels. And that then set up a tag team match between Mickie and Fox versus Banks and Bayley, which was...
a match.
Before that, though, they said, like, this match is brought to you by the Nintendo Switch. And they played an advert that had better acting than the segment that played before
it. Yeah, in my Raw review, I said that this was the best bit of the show.
It really was.
Five stars.
Yeah, five stars.
I've seen that advert hundreds of times as well, and I'm still like, Switch is good.
The Switch is good. My my mother texted me saying, is there anything you want for Christmas this year? And I was like, well, I'd like an electric screwdriver or a Nintendo Switch. I know which one I'm getting because it's not the Switch.
Oh.
I know. But it was a match. Bit of miscommunication between Fox and Mickey. Banks got the statement in, and then they did the combination backstabber into Bailey to Belly, with Alexa Bliss applauding at ringside.
Yes.
Which again was like a really weird, is she a face, is she a heel dynamic?
I feel like she's just doing her job. It's like the first week jitters or whatever. Like she's just like being really on her best behavior.
Just wants
this
to make
week.
A good impression. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's trying to make a good impression. Just in case Corbin gets himself fired.
Yeah. And like if you're it's like The Apprentice. Like you wanna try and make yourself known in the first week, but then after people get fired you're like, oh yeah, no, this is quite serious.
I need
to sort of like either A, blend into the background, which is what Sarah Ann's done on this season of The Apprentice, and then she's got like five words. She's still there. And spoilers. And you do that, or you just start playing nice to everyone. It's agreeing with everyone so they don't take you into the boardroom afterwards. Maybe that's what that's the game that she is playing. We then got it revealed that it was Drew McIntyre Appreciation Night, which for me with Raw is pretty much every night that that Raw's on.
It's the only saving grace.
And Morgan Waller was in the ring with his tremendous mullet. It's just, I find it incredible that here in 2018, there are people who can still wear mullets. I remember watching an old WCW pay-per-view, and Scott Norton came out with an incredible mullet, and I thought, crikey, in 1997, people were still rocking mullets. Here we are in 2018.
Yeah, imagine going into the barbers and asking for a mullet.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine me going into the barbers. It's another completely different idea.
I was
going to
say, you and I are kids throwing stones at glass houses currently.
Have a crack, see what you can do with that. Nothing.
Yeah, there's not a lot there.
But imagine asking for a mullet and he's like, yeah, sorry, let me just get out my time machine to sort this out.
Although, actually, in all fairness, I can grow my hair longer at the back than I can up on top, which is where it's all losing. That's where I'm losing it all. So, technically, I can grow myself a mullet.
I could comb up my back hair
to
be a mullet.
That's it, yeah. So I can probably get whatever's left there short enough and then just grow a mullet off the back of it.
I can make a nice little thatch out of that.
It's entirely possible. Or I'll just go Hulk Hogan and just have the his doll
just
hair
the rim,
has.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we get Alexa Bliss walking backstage, and Ronda Rousey was really TO'd and said that she sent the Riot Squad home. And it was at this point I realised, are Ronda Rousey and Alexa Bliss the same height? Or is it just because Alexa Bliss is wearing heels? Because they were eye to eye. And I was like, I mean, Bliss is 5 feet of fury, and I don't think Ronda Rousey is 5 foot, so I'm going to guess that Bliss was wearing heels.
Really high heels.
Yeah, really high heels. But Ronda
says, you can see she was on a track that someone was like slightly elevated her.
It was like Andre the Giant promo. Stand on a box, mate. and Ronda says she's going to find a new tag team partner, which I've written here, I'm going to guess it's Ember Moon.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah. We then got a really funny video package for Baron Corbin. Trying to show like the great stuff that he's done, and it really felt like it was a promo that Baron had put together himself and done the voiceover for. It wasn't him, but it reminded me of the Biff Tannen video package in Back to the Future 2,
where they talk
about all the great stuff that he has done for Hill Valley.
It gave me, it just gave me sort of like Our Glorious Leader vibes. You know, it was a bit like Kim Jong Un style kind of. I really liked it. I thought it was really funny, and I like that should be the kind of thing you do with Corbin in this regard, and all the way into the build up into TLC. Like it should be getting more and more overblown and pompous. His like, I'm almost guaranteed to be the general manager now.
Yeah.
Let's really lean into this.
Yeah, and that's what I'm guessing that's where they're going with this as well, because they're still pushing that it's Braun versus Baron, despite the fact that all the reports are that Braun's recovering from his elbow surgery and will not be around until at least the Royal Rumble. But as Meltzer wrote in The Observer, all you need to do is have Braun come out, do a power slam and pin him. You don't have to have an actual match. It's billed as a TLC match, but it doesn't have to be one. If you want to protect Braun and have him not do much and just let him recover from his elbow surgery, just like don't announce the match, announce the match, keep teasing he's not going to be there, and then Baron comes out, bah, 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 I'm Baron Corbin, heel promo, your town sucks, I'm brilliant. Braun! He comes down, power slam, 1, 2, 3, and Baron's out of a job, and Braun goes off to the Royal Rumble to face Brock Lesnar. Job done.
Perfecto.
If obviously if Braun can manage that.
I'm sure Braun can one-armed power slam Baron Corbin.
Yes. And this is where we got a point where it was almost feeling like Baron Corbin was sort of playing a face role as well, because he was helping out a babyface in this next segment, because Rude and Gable walk in, and they say that we want a rematch against AOP, and Baron's like, hey man, you know, look, you lost your match last week, but if you want another rematch, I'll give you a setup match. If you can beat Drake Maverick, you can get your rematch. And Bobby Roode's like, hey, happy days, because that's not going to be ours.
Yeah.
So
because Bobby Roode had been saying beforehand that he wanted to get his hands on Drake Maverick for having weed on his cloak.
Yeah.
So getting your hands on Drake Maverick when he's covered in weed is quite difficult. It's slippery.
Thankfully, less wee in this episode of Monday Night Raw. So thumbs up all around. Yeah. Instantly, that actually puts it above. Yeah. Like one level above last week.
At the moment, it was before it was at the bottom of a hole, drowning in urine, and now the hole is at least dry.
Just pick up Steve there. And so they set up. Obviously, it was going to be dirty Baron Corbin tricks, which we'll come to later.
Curse you, Corbin.
But then we got, oh my God, I feel so bad for the Revival. Third week in a row.
Oh my God.
Loser House Party come out for a match. Sorry, I should stop covering up my microphone. Loser House Party come out for a match. The Revival come out and say, this is not tag team wrestling, so we're going to have a one-on-one match. And then they get into the ring, and it's announced that it's a 3-on-1 handicap match.
Because it's a Lucha House Party
match. Because of Lucha House Party rules or whatever, and Loser House Party win. And I'm, good crikey. And this has got to be going somewhere. This has to be going somewhere.
Mm, you'd hope so.
You'd hope so. And
I was saying that about the Kevin Owens thing for ages.
This has to be. And here is my one shining light. My one glimmer of hope that this is going somewhere. Because during this match, and I'll come on to the hypocrisy of this in a second. But during this match, the commentators kept saying, someone is making these rules.
Yeah.
Someone is allowing the Lucha House Party to continue having these matches.
Yes.
And they sort of slightly admit that it's unfair. But they are like, hey, you know, this is great. They're having fun. They're just playing by the rules. Mm. They're just doing, you know, what is asked of them. So there is a tease that there is someone who is making these rules.
Yes.
So my one glimmer of hope is that this is a storyline that is going somewhere. My other glimmer of hope is that the Revival leave in April and go join AEW. That's my other, all Elite Wrestling. That's my other glimmer of hope.
That is the better hope, I think. Because this is, like, I mean, it's cool. Like, I like Lucha House Party.
They do fun flips.
I like the flips. I like that stuff. But I don't know why it comes at the expense of the Revival, but for stupid reasons. I don't understand the fact that, like, they're cool and they do wicked moves, but also somehow that makes them all so stupid. Like,
it makes me hate the Loser House Party. And I don't want to hate Loser House Party because, as you say, they do fun flips. They've got fun getup.
Yeah.
They are the, you know, they're the Raw's equivalent of the New Day. I'm sure they can have tremendous matches each and every week. But they keep putting them in these situations without having a 3-on-1 handicap match and asking me to like them. I'm like, no, I just feel bad for the other guys.
Yeah,
who,
absolutely.
For the third week in a row, have been cheated out of a win. Yeah.
Who are the heels and keep coming in and saying,
this isn't
tag team wrestling that we're doing here. We're doing some weird thing that you're making up. You're making up the rules.
This
and they're
is
like,
not fair.
Oh, well, it wasn't fair last week, but now it's harder this week. It's harder this week.
It's like WWE 2K19 being like, now we're win a 3-on-1 handicap match.
Yeah.
Although you're the baby face and you're fighting heels.
Yeah, oh my God. That was
the match that made you quit playing the game.
I had to stop dead there. Samoa Joe and The Bar versus me. And I was like, it's impossible. You can't win.
Well, you can win. You've just got to buy those loot boxes.
I had to cheat. I spent the whole match taking them outside the ring and just hitting them off the ring post until they were all red health. And then I still couldn't win.
We haven't done a review of the game. So anyway, I'm hoping this is going somewhere. It has to be going at least somewhere. But just a reminder, folks, during this match, when it was announced that it was a 3-on-1 handicap match, Michael Cole was there going like, they're just playing by the rules.
That's the rules. I'm a stickler for the rules.
Them's are the rules. Mm. You know, they're having fun. Them's the rules.
But then at the same time, Graves was the one in this match saying, this is unfair. This is completely outrageous. The Revival were just trying to have a tag team match, and this is crazy. And then it all flips again later on in the show.
Yeah. Just gonna say, just remember that Cole thought it was a good thing,
and Graves thought it was bad.
Backstage, Corbin is there, and a stagehand walks in and gives him a box that was something he asked for an hour ago. Steady, and which is going to lead us into Drew McIntyre Appreciation Night with Corbin playing a video for Drew. This was a good segment for... Oh, Was it a good segment for Drew? I don't like Drew McIntyre being a lackey.
Mm.
And Drew McIntyre has felt like a bit of a lackey.
The whole time.
Like, even when he was with Dolph, it just sort of felt like he was there to be the tag team partner for Dolph, even though he was the star and we all knew that he was the one that was going to break away from the group and become the star. So that's kind of fine. Mm. But I like him much... But then they go into the Dogs of War stuff. But I liked him a lot less in this role where he is just playing second fiddle to Baron Corbin and Bobby Lashley. And the character of Drew McIntyre never really felt like someone who was going to suck up and kiss ass to the guy that's the GM elect. So I've been really down on this Drew McIntyre character since Survivor Series because I don't think it's the right role for him. So on a more positive note, at least here he didn't feel like the lackey.
No, I felt like this was like Corbin looking at him being like, I love you.
Yeah, I love you. I need you. I need you more than you need me.
Please have this chocolate coin that I've got.
Please have this golden coin that I have created and I have bought off Firebox that I need you to just love me. Just love me.
Love me, Joe.
I need this job. So that is why I kind of didn't hate this segment all that much. It's because Drew stepped out from being a lackey. That's a thumbs up.
Before we get into the deeper bit of this bit, can we just reference the fact that at the beginning of this segment, Corbin cuts a bit of a promo, doesn't he,
yes,
when he comes out? And he says, I'm going to win the match against Braun Strowman at TLC because he's not going to turn up and he's going to forfeit, and then I will be the general manager.
Yes.
At that point, Corey Graves says, a win is a win. I'm a stickler for the rules. This is 10 seconds after the Lucha House Party match in which he was doing... I was like, this is literally the turnaround. I've never seen such a fast turnaround.
Oh,
unless you're the big show.
Yeah. Bless his heart. Well, speaking of face turns, I really like Drew McIntyre's promo here where he's like, I came into Raw and I'm walking around the back and there's just... everyone's playing video games and they're retweeting compliments. And I really like this about Drew. And he's like calling Balor a boy in a man's world.
Foreshadowing.
But speaking of random face turns, Dolph Ziggler came out. His record scratch hits on an MP3 and he wonders what we all wondered. What happened to our tag team?
Yeah.
We were a tag team literally 2 weeks ago, and then last week we weren't. What happened with that?
Strange.
And
so you got some new friends there.
Yeah.
I'm not happy about it, mate.
And good question. And then so Drew was like, I never invited you to my party. This was the less I didn't like Drew this part of it, where he's like, I didn't invite you to my party because you're a loser. And then you're too short. Here we are again. All that Big Cass Bryan stuff is still hanging over this goddamn company. And we've got the tall people saying to the not-so-tall people, you're not as tall as me, ergo I am better. It's so lazy.
Problem is, Luke, it's because you can't hear the top-level conversation that they're having the whole time. So there's much more going on. I heard a lot more of this show. There was a lot more said in Raw, but because you're quite short, there wasn't a lot that you could hear.
I was going to say, yeah, because I am 5'10". I can't really hear it, Luke. I can't understand what...
There was a whole bit. They discussed Plato. They discussed...
Oh, man. If only.
Corbin did a lovely reading of the Iliad during this.
If only I was tall enough to understand what they're talking about. My favourite thing about the Iliad. Have you ever seen The Boy Next Door?
No.
A wonderful, I'm going to do big air quotes here, erotic thriller starring Jennifer Lopez. It came out a couple of years ago.
How many?
And it is, I went to the press screening of it. I've never heard a press screening laugh so much at a film that's not meant to be laughed at. But it's tremendously awful. And there is a moment in there where she's like an English teacher and the boy next door, who is like perhaps the object of the affection, comes in and gives her a birthday present. And it is an original copy of the Iliad.
An original copy.
She's like, oh my God, it's an original copy of the Iliad. I'm like, that was when the press screening lost it. And I was like, nope, there is no coming back from that line of dialogue.
It's weird that he made it into a book before books were invented.
Oh, what a great film. I might watch that on the weekend. It's awesome. Oh no, I'm too busy watching Christmas films now. But anyway, so back to Drew calling Dolph Shaw. And then... getting out past that, he then gets back into some more good promo stuff and he calls himself that I was the brains and the muscle. I was everything in this partnership.
It's a total package.
I'm the total package. And this partnership just was not working for me. It's like, you had one job and that was to get me onto Raw. And finally, you succeeded in something. Yeah. I thought that was a great line.
He said, Drew. I made you, and he said also, I made you relevant for the first time in 10 years.
This is great stuff. And it actually kind of works for the Dolph character being like, maybe, yeah, I have failed in a lot of aspects of things. Maybe I was wrong about you. Maybe my babyface turn could make sense. However, I'm not sure I can be that bothered with a Dolph Ziggler babyface in 2018.
No.
I mean, I've said my piece about Dolph in that I've very much moved past the Dolph thing. I had my time with cheering for Dolph, but WWE just sort of booked him into the ground and made me not care about him anymore. So it's very hard for me to get invested in him as a character.
Well, it's tough as well because anytime they do give him a push, they just push him into the same match with Seth Rollins.
Or
700 times.
They grind it to a halt and be like, we're bored of you now. We're going to move on to someone else. Yeah. So like all these stop-start pushes have made me ambivalent to Dolph. Mm. However, in 2018, due to this partnership with Drew, I'm suddenly interested in the Dolph Ziggler character again. Mm. I'm like, oh, this is actually, finally, yes, I would like to see Dolph Ziggler on pay-per-view, preferably not against Seth Rollins again, but I would like to see him on pay-per-view. Actually, him being face does mean we probably won't get him facing Seth Rollins again, so maybe that's a thumbs up.
He can kick Ambrose.
But I don't think I'm in the mood, not the mood, but I don't think I'm asked about a babyface Dolph Ziggler in 2018.
I'm definitely not bothered about a feud between Drew and Dolph as well. Like, I'm definitely not like, I just think it doesn't help anyone, does it?
Yeah.
Like, it just, probably Drew wins it and it just buries Dolph more. If Dolph wins it, nothing happens from there and it just ruins all the momentum that Drew's got.
Well, speaking of, we then got a match between the two, between Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. This partnership implodes randomly on Raw, with no build. And and essentially, like, the whole match was just Drew dominated the entire match. So I've seen a lot of people on Twitter be very upset about this match. Mm. And I liked it.
That was a really good match.
And I can see why people were upset with it for reasons we'll get into in a second. But here's how the match goes. Drew dominates. He dominates to the point where he grabs a microphone and cuts a promo while he is dominating. He's in charge. Mm. Dolph has zero chance. And then Finn Balor comes out, because Drew was cutting a promo on him earlier, and all of their actions last week, and that causes a distraction, allowing Ziggler to take over. But even when Ziggler takes over, big old Drew, being tall, still dominates the match. But Dolph gets a couple of bits hither and thither, and then on the outside, Drew dominates further. Balor shotgun drop kicks Drew into the barricade. He nearly gets counted out, but valiantly, because he's a big, strong boy, gets back into the ring, only to be hit by a zigzag and pinned. So, the reason why people are upset with this is because this is the first loss that Drew has had since being called up to the main roster from NXT, and it's to Dolph Ziggler, who I think we can all establish are not really fussed on being a babyface. It's not the way I would have had Drew McIntyre lose his first match. Mm. However, I think they did a really good job in protecting Drew here.
Yes.
And making it look like, yes, he lost, but really he didn't lose. He beat himself, more or less, because he got distracted by Balor. It took Balor and Dolph to beat him. He didn't lose clean. He just got beaten because he was at a 2-on-1 disadvantage.
Yes.
And he dominated the whole time.
I think also the thing with Drew is he hasn't actually had that many matches himself where he's in it. Mm-hmm. He's been out a lot and at a lot of matches, but usually backing up Dolph Ziggler, and he's throwing a lot of claymores into places where he probably wasn't meant to. Realistically, you got to lose sometime. And if you're not going to do a big monster run where they're going to have an undefeated streak or whatever, you've got to sneak them in somewhere.
Yes.
And if he's going to win at the pay-per-view against Finn Balor or whatever it is, maybe it's fine for him to pick up and let Dolph at least go away with some sort of momentum himself that, you know, if he's going to have this face run against whoever it turns out to be, it doesn't hurt Drew too much for him to get a pinfall after, technically, Balor cheats. So,
yes. Yeah, exactly. So,
you know,
I wasn't as upset at Drew losing as some people very much appear to be. But I thought they tried their darndest to make Drew look strong in this defeat.
Well, I think he came out looking worse.
It's
good storytelling as well, in the sense that, like, at least if he loses here, and he, as we'll see later in the show, goes crazy.
Yeah.
If he goes even more crazy, like, because he's been the psychopath so far, but like he's not really actually been particularly unhinged or crazy.
Mm.
So, you know, I want to see him rampaging around, beating up anyone he wants to. Like, I'd love to see that stuff. So, yeah. This is the kind of the door opening for all of that to happen.
Absolutely.
To be like, I don't care about you, Corbin. I don't care about you, Lashley. I'm for me now, and yeah. I'm doing my own thing.
Like, totally. I don't care about your chocolate coin.
Yeah.
Or your six golden coins. I just want to go dominate now. So I
get out of the way, Super Mario.
I'm hoping, like you say, that this could open up a door for this really to get that Scottish psychopath character out there. So we can build up to it next week and then have the match with Finn at the pay-per-view where likely Drew will come out on top. And Drew does get his heat back by the end of this. And that's a word we haven't said a lot on this show compared to the last 2 weeks, which have been nothing but heat, 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 and heat.
Mm.
This match felt more balanced on that. And that's why I made it. It felt like a much more enjoyable show because of that. The baby faces got wins. The heels got heat. And it was a balanced show.
Mm.
So I was a fan. Not of everything. There's some things I wouldn't have done.
Yeah, Lucha House Party happened. Remember that?
Well, I mean, I was just talking about this segment alone. Yeah. It was not a home run segment. It was not a perfect segment, but I didn't hate it as much as others have.
See, I feel like this was the strongest section of the show, apart from maybe the main event, but
we'll get to that. And then we got Elias, because Drew's walking backstage, and and that was where he cut his big promo. And he was like, you know what? Ziggler should be scared. And Balor is a marked man. Mm. And all this stuff. And he just feels really pissed off. But Elias comes out and he wants to bash Bobby Lashley in the head with a guitar. But Bobby is running scared. And this was quite funny. He cut a local sports team reference, but it was meant to be a good one.
Yeah.
Though usually it's just like because your local sports team loses. But this was like because your local sports team wins, I think. I mean, it was a your local sports team reference, which always go over my head regardless. But let me know in the comments, was it a babyface one?
You got too many sports, America.
Too many sports. With too many teams.
You got too many stuff.
And too many rules. Many people have tried to explain to me how the Super Bowl works in terms of the AFC and championships and all this sort of stuff. And I'm like, nope. I'm sure it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I barely even get football, so I'm just like... Competitive throw and catch is like my speed.
But yet, if you and I sat down and played Smash Up,
oh, yeah, yeah.
We're in. I know exactly what we're doing there.
It's written on the cards, mate. just do what it says on the cards.
Those rules all make sense. Mm-hmm. That is a very, very simple game to pick up and play. Bloody love it. Anyway, so Elias is doing his promo. Not wet hair for Elias. He was very floofy tonight in the old hair department.
Yeah. What did I write for his little haircut? Let's have a look.
It was just like the humidity really got to him.
Yeah.
It's like Monica and Friends when they go to Barbados.
But his hair is all poofy, is all I'm doing.
But anyway, so Leo comes out with Bobby and gets him to do his poses, including him pointing to his butt. Stop doing that. It's not getting him heat. It's not making people boo him.
Doesn't make him look strong.
No, it just makes him look like an idiot.
He looks like the comedy that they're getting out of it.
Can we say comedy?
But the stuff they're attempting to do feels like what they did with Terminator 3. You know, like... It's the same as like Arnie.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah, it's Arnie doing dumb things. Like he's a killer robot. Like Bobby Lashley doesn't come out and say anything anymore. He now just does whatever Leo Rush tells him to do. Leo Rush is making him do all these poses. It feels like a child is programming a T-1000.
Yeah. It was like, someone who watched Terminator 2 but misunderstood why people liked the stuff that Terminator
did. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Even though that's why I prefer the original Terminator, the 84 one, to Terminator 2, because I like Terminator to be scary and not going, no problemo. It's, it's just not for me.
Hasta la vista, babe. Bobby.
Yeah, nice. There was a really weird line, actually. When Elias is chasing Bobby up the ramp, he grabs his guitar, he's had enough of this, and he's going to chase Bobbles up the ramp. And Graves said, and I think this is what he was saying, Elias is so bad, he makes Paul McCartney want to join the rest of the Beatles.
Mm.
Which I think what he was saying was he wants Paul McCartney to die.
To
hang out with Lennon and to hang out with George Harrison. Forgetting that Ringo Starr is still alive. Ringo's fine. That line doesn't make any sense. Ringo's all right, mate.
Yeah, Paul McCartney's the only one who's currently famous in America. So, there you go.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, hey, Ringo Starr was on The Simpsons. Yeah. Surely everyone remembers that episode. It's a great episode.
This beat down here
Sorry, back to this.
Sucked, didn't it? It sucked. Like he chases Rush off the stage. There was a point where they could not get a camera on that at all. Like, so he just leapt off, and then they sort of saw him in the crowd. And you're like, how did he get? I don't know. Did he run away or was he pushed? I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Then Lashley runs.
Then Lashley runs and gets him. And then they have a brief brawl. Elias flips it around, chucks him into the screens, and then he gets the guitar. And to get away, Lashley just starts rolling towards the. But he's like quite far from the. Like he's quite far from the curtain, so he just starts like rolling, and he's just still rolling. He's still rolling when Elias reaches him, and then Elias has to sort of stop, look at him as he goes. Da, 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 da. It's like the Penguins. Like you didn't see anything.
And then,
it's so weird.
Out of nowhere, Leo Rush is thrown back onto the stage for a guitar shot, and it's revealed that it was Balor that threw him out on the stage. Look at that. Baby faces getting one up on the bad guys. Lovely stuff.
But again, it just like I was just like, what is going on at any point in this? Like, someone, you could have blocked this out, guys, worked out how you were filming it, like, whatever
that
it was.
That's the bigger problem, yeah.
I don't know. There was no difference to Leo Rush being chucked on the stage to take this guitar shot, or Balor literally dragging him back onto the stage and just depositing him for Elias to do it. And that is a better moment, because it's like, at least the audience in the venue can see it.
Yes.
I'm sure they couldn't see that Balor had done it. They just saw a Leo Rush appear and go, where's he come from? Why is he coming back this way? He's gone that way.
A wild Leo Rush appeared. Corbin was backstage. And it's funny as well, when someone asked me on Twitter, like, why I didn't hate this episode as much as I did the like, previous 2 weeks. And my first thought was, like, it was just less Corbin. But it doesn't go through my nose. It wasn't a lot of backstage segments. Maybe it was just less Corbin in the ring.
He was doing his job, though, this week.
He was doing
sort
his job.
Of.
Looking at phones and that. Yeah. But he's with Jinder Mahal, and Jinder wants a match with Balor, and which Corbin agrees to. Poor old Jinder, I guess, is just, you know, WWE champion just a year ago. And he then calls in Rhino and Heath Slater. And he said that he's crunched the numbers and there's only room on Raw for one of them. And he says that one of you guys has got to quit and save your tag team partner. Or I'm going to put you into a match and the loser of that match is going to be fired.
Mm.
So, a weird storyline to just randomly add here. But we'll come on to why this has happened later.
Completely unused tag team.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Like, And there was me thinking, like, well, one of them could just go to SmackDown. But, yeah, we'll come to that in a second. We then got a recap of SummerSlam 2000 and the TLC match between Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys, and the Dudley Boys. I bring this up because we reviewed this on Patreon. So, nice little plug there. $5 a month. You can go and hear me and Ollie talk about that pay-per-view for about 4 hours. And it is a corking pay-per-view. What a brilliant show that was. Absolutely awesome, that show. Loved it. Oh, all the Kurt Angle, Triple H stuff. God, it's a great show. Then we got Bobby Roode versus Drake Maverick. But before, the match does more or less get started. Bobby just sort of beats down Drake. Drake was selling this brilliantly. Like, I thought Drake's selling of just like, I don't really want to have this match, mate. Yeah. I'm a bit scared of having a match with you. Getting into the ring and then getting beaten down by him. But then on the screen, we see that AOP was beating down Chad Gable. And that was Corbin's plan all along. Because he banned AOP and Gable from ringside so they could beat him down backstage. And then he approached them going like, oh, well, I've changed this now. It's now a 3-on-2 handicap match. You better get out there and help your tag team partner while like Gable's laying on the strewn
and
on the floor.
And he's like, Gable, it's a match.
Yeah,
you've got to get out there.
You need to get out there, mate. And I thought this is perfectly fine heel heat to get. I thought this was actually really effective and worked. The problem I had with this segment, to call back to what I said earlier, Michael Cole spent this whole match going like, well, this is just so unfair.
Yes,
this is a 3-on-2 handicap match. It's so unfair. Corbin's just making up the rules as he goes along. He's drunk with power. This is a disgrace. And I'm like, mate, it's actually a more fair fight than what happened in the Loser House Party match.
Well, the handicap match has rules. If you look in the WWE rule book, you flip through and you go, handicap match, there will be more people on one team than on the other team. You flip through a few more pages, you see Lucha House Party rules, and there's just a picture of a pinata.
This made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And it at least on the commentary side of things, the actual segment itself works fine. Mm. But the commentary made me hate this segment unnecessarily. So you did a bad job, and I'm not...
Well, just don't put it on the same show.
Well, yeah, precisely. But, and again, and a lot of people take issue with Michael Cole on this. It's not Michael Cole's fault. He is fed lines that he has to say, and he is saying this. So it's not... Cole delivers them like a robot, granted, but he's got more life than Todd Phillips has. But it's not his call to make. These are lines that are being fed to him. It's the production that is at fault here, not Michael Cole.
Well, it's definitely a production for not working out the idea that, like, if people are ganging up. Like the same as we said about the War Games thing and the takeover thing. If the faces had the power in the takeover match and they had the advantage, it's a rubbish match.
Yeah.
And you'll spend the whole match going, you won't be able to say that on Undisputed Era they're being so dastardly and such heels. You'd be like, well, they're admittedly fighting from the bottom now, so...
God, I hope they win.
Yeah, exactly.
So this becomes a 3-on-2 handicap match and AOP win. It was fine. Just the commentary sucked. We then got a recap of Dean and Seth's feud. And then we got one of these... And this is, again, WWE production at its absolute finest in terms of what is real, what is not, what is canon, what is not. They put up a screen for, like, did you know facts about... WWE superstars, and it's Nia Jax, and she's there with a big old smile on her face, and it's like, Nia Jax used to play basketball and she's really successful at it and she's a lovely, lovely person. Also, please boo her because she's in the main event and she's fighting against Ronda Rousey, so boo, no, she's not a good guy, but also cheer for her, people's choice and all that lark. Make like, either wrestling is real in this world or it's not.
Let's just not mention it on the show. Put it on the website.
Absolutely, website stuff, that's what it's there for. So then we got men in gas masks walking out onto the ramp, and
SWAT gimps.
And Dean Ambrose's new music, which is his old music, but it now goes,
and it's slightly less jazzy. It's just like they've just like, let's just take 20% of the jazz out of that.
Replace it with air raid sirens. And he comes out with a gas mask too. Basically, he came out looking like Bane from The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
It was a proper, like, Bane cosplay.
They literally, they just didn't think about that at all. Well, they did. Clearly, they just went, who's cool? Like, in this, you know, 2018, who's cool? Like,
no one cared about me until I beat up Seth Rollins. From 2011. It's a cultural reference that some people might understand.
WWE always have their foot, like, finger on the pulse. Yeah. It's like, finally, we're getting that Bane character in 2018.
That's Tom Hardy. Biggest comic book character to date.
Yeah, sort of. Actually, no, it is still, isn't it?
Yeah, Venom is.
Well, no, but I think Dark Knight Rises made more money, so technically.
Possibly, but Venom is a starring role.
That's true. I mean, which one will
and
he
be... And that did really well.
Well, which
Venom,
one?
Surprisingly.
Well, that probably wasn't just a surprise. What will he be remembered for, though? Will he be remembered as Tom Hardy doing his
I think he'll be remembered for, like, Lawless or something like that.
Oh, I don't think he'll be remembered for that, mate.
I liked Lawless.
I mean, it was fine, but it's like, that's not what he's
What about Legend?
Nope, no, that all
you
that
You think it's going to be Bane?
It's going to be Bane or Venom, or it's not, or it's going to be.
What about the one where he drives? What about the one
say,
where
it's
he
not
drives?
Where he's a car, like not, what he's a car. It's not where he's in a car.
Yeah, where he drives to Wales. Yeah, that one. That's great film. It's wicked.
Yeah,
what's it called?
Back of Car, I think.
No, it's not called Back of Car.
It's called.
Oh, it's really good though.
Tom Hardy in a car for an hour.
Tom Hardy in car.
Tom doing a little Welsh accent. Because Tom Hardy, I'm pretty sure he only accepts roles if he's like, can I do a wacky voice? I don't want to speak like Tom Hardy. Yeah. I want to do a wacky voice. I've worked with Tom Hardy. He's a lovely chap. Worked with him after he did Star Trek. Star Trek Nemesis. A couple of years after that, I did a short film with him. Lovely, lovely chap. So Bane comes out and he cuts a You People promo. And it was weird because he's cutting this You People promo and he says, like, I've got to wear this gas mask because this town, you know, I don't want to get infected by this town or what have this new weird germaphobe character he's got. So that's why he's wearing the gas mask. And then he takes the gas mask off.
And he drops down dead.
So it's like, why did you bother wearing the gas mask if you were just going to take it off? And then...
War of the Worlds.
And then,
he was all killed by colds.
But then weirdly... Once he took the gas mask off and he's just there with his big sort of fur jacket thing, I was like, he looks like Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses. It's going to go lovely jubbly.
So your problem with, Seth Rollins is, right, he's been banging my bird Raquel.
So Del Boy comes to promo now on Seth. And the crowd start chanting for Seth and he calls himself the moral compass of WWE. Now this, the moral compass of WWE, that is a good Dean Ambrose character based off what you were telling originally after the Roman Reigns leukemia announcement. That is a character that makes sense. Dean Ambrose, germaphobe, who's getting injections in his butt while trying to cut a serious promo, that is not a good Dean Ambrose character. More of over here, less of this one over there.
Well, the problem is, that one's taking a metaphor or like a thing you say really far too far. Like, yes. It's a really overworked, like, I've literally had to drive to a doctor's to get this pretend injection for coming to your town because I hate you that much. It's like, at least Elias' sports, your local sports team references, they take 10 seconds. And, you know, it's not like he had to go somewhere to do something. He's not at the local sports team going, boo!
Oh, mate, they missed a trick doing those. Yeah. And it's weird. Because I just don't get what this Dean Ambrose character is. Because they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
He was so much better when he didn't talk.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
When he came back and he didn't talk. Like, he could have gone through the whole, like, he's a face, he's a heel. They could have done the whole turn without him ever saying a word.
And yet, remarkably, I thought the gas mask thing looked quite cool.
Yeah, and I think that's all it was done for. I feel like we had that whole thing last week. We've had all of this build-up with this new germophobic you people thing.
Oh, God,
entirely so they could have a moment where he comes out of a SWAT team in gas masks.
And it sort of looked cool.
It's cool. It is cool.
It is cool, because gas masks do always look cool.
But he should do it, but then it should be like, I'm going to, like, it's more that he's going to, like, cleanse or purge WWE of all the people that he doesn't like.
A
and
purge
all the other
characters, brilliant.
You know, that's fun.
That's, like, wicked. Yeah, that's really cool. But the germaphobe thing doesn't really work for me. And please stop cutting you people promos. Good Lord. Mm. We do not need another heel doing you people promos. Hate this lazy writing.
Well, it's stupid because people dislike him because he dislikes Seth Rollins. It's that simple.
That's
it's
an
like
easy...
You just play off the last man who you're against. And, like, Seth Rollins is one of the most over people in WWE. So if you're mean to Seth Rollins, people won't like you. You don't have to be like, I also don't like all of you.
Exactly. Individually,
all of you.
And the crowd were chanting for Seth. So the crowd are into Seth. And Seth came out and they had a pretty wicked brawl, actually. I really like this. Seth was wicked in this segment. But it was ended...
awesome powerbomb thing over
mate,
the ropes. That
was
wicked.
Wicked. But then we got Dirty Deeds on the floor because Dean's got 12,000 people out there with gas masks. And he had Dirty Deeds in the ring and he left. And then we got our weekly Corey Graves as a pop at Renee for not saying enough. However, this one was better because they were acknowledging that they are husband and wife.
Mm.
And it was a weird little turn for Renee here because she, back up, she was just like, "You guys, stop asking me. Like, we are entitled to our own private life just because we are husband and wife." And they kind of, like, made these references to it. And, like, Corey Graves, they're going, like, "Are we just going to pretend that the WWE universe doesn't really know about you two?" And they played it off, and I thought it was actually played off quite nicely.
Mm.
I just don't know where it's going with Renee. Or is this literally just a way to stop? Yeah, is she going to turn heel? The last thing I think we need is heel Renee.
Yeah.
But then again, I said this, like, earlier in the year, the last thing we need is heel Becky Lynch, and I was proved wrong on that one because that was the best thing for her, I guess. Well, she was sort of a heel.
She wasn't really.
She wasn't really.
Not in my heart.
No, she'll always be a baby face in my heart. And then we got Nia cutting a promo backstage. I feel like, because I've always been very down on Nia promos, because they're not good, but she is a better promo as a heel because she's it feels like she's less ba 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 ba. At least when she's like,
and then I will win,
and then I will win, and Ember, you are my tag team partner. But at least when she's a heel and she's playing this bully character, it turns out Alexa Bliss was right all along, by the way, that it sort of works. But anywho. Yes, and she does the punch thing.
She looks at her hand a lot.
Oh, mate, there was a moment later with hashtag Facebreaker that really made me chuckle. But we'll get to that in a second. That's when we found out that Ember Moon was going to be Ronda's tag team partner. And then we got the payoff to that Rhino versus Heath Slater match. It went 30 seconds, Heath got a sneak neck breaker and won. Odd.
Yeah.
Even odder, during the commercial break, if you are unaware, I certainly was, Rhino announced to the crowd that he's retiring.
Mm.
And that's why they did this sort of snap breakup of the team. Rhino is retiring from professional wrestling. What a sad end.
To eat a neck break, like a rubbish neck breaker from Heath Slater.
I mean, you put someone over on their way out, I guess, but like...
You absolutely do, but you could... It's Rhino, man.
I know, man. But like, I feel like... Rhino means something to you and I, though, because we are 30.
Yes.
But, like, Rhino to the 2018 WWE audience is just, he was the tag team partner of Heath Slater.
Oh, absolutely.
And didn't win a lot. So, when I think of Rhino and I'm like, oh man, like the last ECW champion, the Man Beast, when I was tape trading ECW shows back in the day, I used to love Rhino. I thought it was a massive mark for him. And I loved him when he came in 2001 as the WWF, and he was partnered with Edge and Christian and as Team Wreck. And he had that amazing feud with Chris Jericho in the summer of 2001 during the invasion. Oh, and when like you had Paul Heyman on commentary going, God, like that's Rhino. And I'm like, yes, Rhino. So it's sad then, as a fan of that Rhino, to see him retire in a, you know, a dark segment for the live crowd only.
Yeah.
Not in Detroit. At least I don't think it was in Detroit.
So that's the thing. It's in Houston, Texas.
Oh yeah, of course.
In this regard, is Rhino injured? Is that partly why he's retiring? You know, so like he's just gone in there, taken a couple of bumps, and left. Fair. That's fine. Is it that he's been driven down so far by this whole thing, like the crap show that is the Raw Tag Team division, that he's just like, I'm just gonna go run my boatyard.
Yeah, I'm just gonna run my boatyard.
And like the quicker we can get from here to there, I'm up for that. I don't even want a last final heroic battle with someone that actually has like a bit of build and a bit of story. I don't want to go back down to NXT and have a great last match there where people actually probably care.
Yep.
You know, like I'll just have Heath do it. Like it's just like kneeling down, opens the robe, just lop the head off, just go for it.
So that is the end of Rhino and Heath Slater, the first ever SmackDown Tag Team Champions, if you can all remember that. But it was a very short match. Sad end for Rhino, but good luck in the world of politics, Man Beast. And then backstage, holy heckins, Heath Slater's only gone and got himself a bloody storyline. And I'll be honest with you, it's a storyline that I really am looking forward to. I can't wait to see this segment next week, because Corbin is walking backstage, congratulates Heath on his win, and then hands him his new role in the company.
I forgot about this, yeah.
He hands him a referee shirt and says, like, oh, you didn't think I was going to employ you as a wrestler?
No. Got loads of those.
No, I've got loads of those.
Swimming in them.
You're going to be a lowly referee. Oh, man, I can't wait to see where this goes. I mean, it's probably going to go nowhere, but I think this could lead to some comedy fun.
Yeah, you're like, this is going to go somewhere. I'm just like, it's going to be japes. Just only japes. Japes that don't mean anything. Japes.
Well, I'm trying to be positive, man. I'm trying to be positive here. Even though I'm the next
referee house party.
Oh man, that's what he needs to do. Start his own tag team, with the referee house rules. Anywho, Finn Balor then beats Jinder Mahal.
Suppose that was a match.
Yep, the Singh brothers did the Kid and Play dance, which I popped for. And then Apollo Crews ran down to take out the brothers. Balor hit the coup de grace and won. Jinder Mahal was once WWE champion. And then
Apollo Crews was there though, wasn't he? Getting some time.
Hey, Apollo Crews.
A one second gorilla press and get kicked in the face by Jinder Mahal.
But you know what, man? After the last 2 weeks, I'm like, man, progression.
Yeah, yeah. Apollo Crews.
Stuff is happening.
Yeah.
It feels like momentum is happening and we are moving forward. And that's a great thing. Like when I roll the dice in a board game, I want to move spaces. Yeah. I don't want to roll the dice and be like, staying here.
I just don't know what they're doing with Balor and all these rando faces that he's gathering up now. I know he's not gathering them per se, and like he's, you know, hopefully, by God, this isn't the forming of the Balor Club.
No, I don't think so.
Like with a random selection of people. It's like, it's Elias, it's Apollo Crews. We'll get some other ones, I'm sure. But
what's Dana doing? Is she a face? But this
just feels like this is like 3 weeks too late. Like Survivor Series, you know, has happened. A Balor versus Corbin led team based Survivor Series match would have been fine, with these people, any selection. It is a completely random selection of people anyway, so this would have been fine. But it's just like, why are we now doing this sort of Balor versus Balor helping everyone out, Balor versus the world?
What I think we've got is we've got baby faces standing up for themselves, and Balor is kind of like the forefront of this because he's been cutting this promo. I think he cut the promo last week, or might be the week before. The shows blend into one after a while, where he said, I'm not going to just stand by. I'm going to be on the right side of history. I'm going to be the guy that stops this Baron Corbin nonsense and, you know, take him down as GM, and we're going to have a nice time on Raw for a change rather than Baron and his mates.
Baron Corbin again.
Well, Jesus.
Get that demon on.
At least it wasn't the main event this week. Yeah, people might actually stick around for the third hour of this show. Ronda Rousey was in it.
Yeah, true.
So anyway, it was fine. But as he was walking backstage, Drew attacked him from behind and looked vicious doing it. Thumbs up for Drew.
Yes.
Looked good. Then we got a video
package. Lucky he's got very good booking.
Well, yeah, protected. It's because he's tall.
Yeah.
If I was in WWE, I would be the Balor of this situation. Mm. Just being the one that's pushed into barrels and whatnot.
I'd be Heath Slater.
Because the beard, right?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the beard.
You're exactly the same. So we then got a video package for Lars Sullivan. I was about to write down, it's the same video package we've always seen. But oh no.
No.
Lars cut a promo. Lars got a promo in this. It's all like up in his face and his grill. Yeah. He's been
watching Sammy Callahan.
Well, it looked like a 90s metal video. Yeah. Like the early 2000s on SCUS. This is what the lead singer's video camera would have been. Video camera.
I don't understand all this push behind the Lars Sullivan thing. Like it smacks of we don't know what we're doing.
Oh, totally.
We're going to keep talking about it for minutes at a time. Yeah. Like, rather than just going, we can just drop this. Like he's the hottest free agent in all of wrestling. Yeah. Whoa, he is the freak.
Yeah, all of it, like before he's even debuted, they branded him. Yeah. Like because that's
what's his nickname in NXT?
He doesn't have one.
The Leviathan.
But they don't
too
call
it, smart.
But they don't call him the Leviathan Lars Sullivan. And he doesn't refer to himself as the Leviathan.
No,
Lars
it's
Sullivan.
Just what they. It's just a cool name that Mauro calls him.
Exactly. Like, yeah, or like you know, he calls him a Jack Kirby character come to life. You know, he's just got like all these like things that he likes to call wrestlers. But as soon as you come up here, it's just like, no, you've just got a name. Branding, that's what we need. So when Balor came up, and they just had to keep hammering home, he's the Demon King Finn Balor. Demon King Finn Balor. Mm. They just love to just slap labels on people and expect that's what's going to get them over.
I love the anti-labels, man. Oh, just yeah. Like it's easy.
What was it? What do they call Rich Swann? Oh, man, he had a stupid nickname as well. And like it was Gentleman Jack Gallagher. Man, what was the Rich Swan? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But anyway, Lars Sullivan is now the
Dancing
freak.
Rich Swan.
It was like the... I can't remember. I can't be bothered to think. Someone will let me know in the comments. If you've made it this far, you can let
Rich,
me know.
Rich, if you're watching, let us know. Tweet us and let us know,
I'll
Rich.
Just text Rich.
We'll put it in the news.
Yeah, it's an update. It's a styling update. So he's now the freak Lars Sullivan. You've never seen a freak like him. You ain't never seen a freak like him.
Hey.
And then we got our main event of Nia Jackson Tamina versus Ronda Rousey and Ember Moon. And this is the bit that made me laugh in this. Because Tamina's holding Ember. And then Nia does her big, like, she does her fist thing. And Corey goes like, ho, 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 it's hashtag facebreaker. And then Nia punches her in the stomach. And Corey goes like, oh.
I like that. That was good.
Yeah. Hashtag facebreaker punches Ember Moon in the stomach. Cool. Can't even get that character right. Come on, guys. Like, if you're going to do hashtag facebreaker, punch people in the face.
Yeah, but the problem is when Ember Moon's face doesn't then break.
Then don't call her hashtag face.
The illusion is broken.
Don't do as a spot in the match. Mm. It undermines.
Mystique breaker.
It undermines the gimmick.
Mm.
So
is it a gimmick?
That's totally a gimmick. That's her. That's her freak name. Like that is her label. She is hashtag face breaker. I can never say. I always say face breaker.
Face breaker.
Face baker is what
Frace I always breaker
say.
Crane and his brother Niles.
Face baker sounds like it's a challenge on the Bake Off. Like it's one that I don't understand.
This week we are making a face bake.
But the spot I suppose everyone wants us to talk about, and I don't think this is it's not Tamina's fault, but Tamina grabs Ember Moon. And she jumps up in the air and does a headbutt.
Mm.
But I think Ember was just expecting her to do a headbutt.
Yeah.
So when Tamina moves, Ember bumps. And she falls to the floor. So then Tamina sort of jumps up in the air and throws down. And is like, she's already fallen. And then I'll do a stomp now. And she tried to recover as quickly as she possibly could. And I bloody love Ember Moon. I'm a big, big Ember Moon advocate. But this was not Tamina's fault.
No.
That's the way she does her headbutts. She jumps up in the air and does them. Ember bumped early. And it made everyone look very, very silly. And then anyway, she collided with Nia Jax. And then we got probably the best spot of the match, which was when Ronda Rousey gets the hot tag.
Mm.
And then she doesn't beat up Tamina. She yells at Tamina to tag in Nia.
She beats up Tamina enough.
Yes.
And she's like, now you can, now you may tag in Nia Jax, please.
This is great, because then I thought Nia solved this really well, where she was like, yeah, okay, I'll tag. I don't really want to tag. She's like, I'm not getting in. Tamina tags her anyway, so she's like, okay, I guess I'll get in then. So she gets in the ring, brilliantly, like a heel, first thing she does, tags out. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, that's great.
Brilliant. Heel 101 booking. Mm. Thumbs up, love this. But anyway, like, Rousey, being the badass babyface, like, don't care, give an S. Throws her back in, does some more moves to her. I thought this was a really fun main event in the end.
I love all these little bits they do with Rousey.
Yeah.
Like that. It's
good. Great. It's that they protect her. They book her like a badass babyface. They make her seem legitimate. She's not, and like this, none of this millennial man nonsense that she's still sticking with on Twitter, but they've dropped on TV. But she looks like a badass in the ring. When they are committed to an idea, when they want something to work, they can make it work. Mm. It's just that they're not asked about 98% of the people on the roster. Yeah. So 98% of it feels rubbish.
Mm.
But when they care about something, when they want something to work, you get Ronda Rousey, you get Braun Strowman, you get Roman Reigns, you get something that works.
Yeah, you feel like that, and you feel like that's all they spend their time on. That all that stuff is like, Rousey's probably been written, her stuff's been like plotted out, pinpoint perfectly. Yeah. For the next year.
Oh, yes.
Everyone else, it's like week to week.
But even then, with Rousey, it's probably like
Luchas?
Like, this time next year, we know where we want to be with her. But if this happens, maybe we can go here, maybe we can
go here.
Vince Russo, in one of his shoot interviews, one of his many shoot interviews, once told a story. It was one he did with Ed Ferrara. He said that when he would write Raw, like they would go to Vince's house to write Raw back in like 98, 99. He said we would show up for Raw, and Vince would only have one question, which is like, what's Austin doing? And that was it. That's all Vince cared about is what is Austin doing this week? And then he'd be like, well, okay, can we talk about Goldust? Can we talk about D'Lo? He's like, don't really care about them. What is Austin doing? Yeah. So you tell him what Austin's doing. He's like, cool. Then the rest of the show doesn't really matter. Because Vince gets tunnel vision, and he wants certain things to succeed, and he's not asked about the rest of it.
Mm. It was weird, though, because he has to watch it all as well.
Yes.
So
he's there like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, sitting there.
What's a Lucha House
he's
party?
He's sitting there getting grumpy in the back with his little headset on. It's like, well, you had the option to say, no, this is rubbish, but you didn't. So now you have to watch it like everyone else.
Yes.
You schmuck.
Anyway, tunnel vision. He likes Ronda. Ronda looks great off the back of that. So this was a thumbs up end to the show. Tamina got the eclipse in the armbar. She tapped out. Good guys win. Crowd goes home happy. And I finished the show going like, I think I mostly had fun watching that match.
Yeah, it was all right.
With that said, it's still a poor show. While I really liked the Ronda stuff, and there were segments and elements of the show that I did like, overall, I didn't think the show was particularly great.
No, it had a good beginning. I liked the opening. I liked the middle bit with Drew and Dolph. And I liked the end.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Balor at least got a win. Even if it was just a match.
Yes.
It was just a match, but at least like the stuff with Balor dotted throughout was also like, oh, at least something is happening with someone who isn't a heel.
Yeah. And I think because the last 2 weeks have been ungodly awful. Just like the dirt worst. Still not as bad as 2009 WWE or 2006 WWE, and I will not have any arguments against that. Or WCW in 99-2000. Not as bad as that, but still just awful. Just horrendously awful. So, as we said at the start of the show, because this was a step up, God, it felt like a much better show. Like, it's just like, just a tiny fraction better. And I'm like, God, this is great.
Mm.
This was a great show. But really, it wasn't a great show. It was still a poor show.
Yeah, no, this is the equivalent of if you were a house elf and you'd just been given a sock. You're like, whoa.
Is that a Harry Potter thing?
That's a Harry Potter thing, man. People will get this.
You need to make references.
Yeah, I need to. I'll ring Andy now. Hang on.
Is there a Transformers equivalent you have?
No, I don't. Sadly, I don't, because the Transformers are already pretty sweet. That's the thing. Is like,
God,
you'd be
awesome.
Like, you would be like, you wouldn't ever be at the stage where you're like, oh my God, my life is so destitute. You'd be like, oh no, I can be a car now. See ya.
What if it was Rodimus Prime down in the dumps because he's just not as good as Optimus, but Cub just comes up and gives him an...
That's a real existential crisis. Though,
it gives him an Energon tree and he's like, oh, actually.
Oh, yeah, fine. Gives him the matrix of leadership and he's like,
oh. I've got the touch and the power.
I do have both of those things. Thank you, Stan.
Cheers, Stan Bush. Anyway, so that was this week's Raw. You gave it a
poor.
Yes, I would have also gone poor, but perhaps high poor, because, as I said, step up. You know, Not the film.
I mean, Poor is still a step up from Boar.
Yeah,
so...
absolutely. Yeah, in of itself, it is a step up. It was a 2 out of 5 show.
I was very sleepy watching it. I'll put that out there.
Yeah,
so.
God, I got up at 5 a.m. to watch this show, and I was not in the mood.
I mean, there's both the bit of being having to get up early to watch things, but there's also the bit where you're like, I could genuinely sleep through this, and I wouldn't have missed really anything. So,
yep, mm-hmm.
yeah.
This is what you
considering.
Do.
I normally just watch NXT, which is a lovely, a nice tight little hour long package, and this was like me just sitting there for 3 hours going, God, I wish I had some toast or something. Just going, pottering about trying to do stuff.
And I did find myself at one point. I'm going way off topic here. You can shut off the show now if you don't care about this.
Yeah, we're done.
If we finished the Raw review,
wait for the links at the end.
Yeah,
click
another one. But I had a bit of a grumpy moment while watching the show though, because my wife, and this is going to sound very middle class and very millennial hipster vegan nonsense,
she'd eaten all of the avocados.
But like one of our favorite breakfasts is one we had when we were in Iceland on our mini moon. Which is just, I'm like, it's hummus on toast with like cucumber and like sea salt and black pepper.
Oh, lovely.
It's bloody lovely. It's really, really tasty. And when my wife does it, it's just amazing. I'm like, nom, 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 nom. This is delightful. I did it for myself this morning. You remember that episode of Friends when Monica makes Chandler a bubble bath and he loves it and then he tries to do it himself and it's awful? This is exactly what happened here. I was eating it. I was like, why can't I do this?
Where the magic gone?
What's the magic gone? Did I buy the wrong bread? Did I buy the wrong hummus?
You look and you're eating just eating the box of a cereal. This isn't bread at all. This is just Cocoa Pops box.
I've picked up a Weetabix. That's why this is horrible. anyway, that was my morning, so I got a bit of a grump on it.
Polyfiller for the hummus.
So for completeness sake, rather than just me get out the letter and then we'll read it out on the air, I'm going to look at the package again.
Okay.
So we get the full Foley work on it and dig into all of this stuff. Problem is, now that I've opened it again, I do want to get all the chocolate.
I want to eat the chocolate.
I want to eat
again.
The chocolate. Yep, you can tell that Ollie Davis did open this up the wrong way around because here is the letter.
Way.
Oh, crikey, it's... Oh man, he really did go to town on how much there is in like in terms of describing what's in there. So thank you very much. Hi.
It's got cornflakes in it. This Ritter Sport.
What?
This Ritter Sport has cornflakes in it.
I'm so eating that later.
And there's a yogurt one as well.
Oh, I might have both.
Mit erfrischender Joghurtfüllung.
Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and basically everyone at WrestleTalk. My name is Marcel Drury. You may remember me from such emails and tweets like the guy who once wanted to get rid of Rusev Hayes. You guys should come to WXW 16 karat gold or at that one WrestleTalk pixel fan art. I do really want to go to 16 karat next year. I think that'd be a really fun adventure. We'll go with Matthew.
Yeah, like, I just want the beer, man.
Yeah, I think going with Matthew would be an excellent time.
Let's do it.
I think we should definitely do it. Because, like, the lads from Cultaholic are going to Wrestle Kingdom, which I also really want to do, but I don't think that's within our budget. also, I'm meant to be going to Japan next year anyway with my wife. So I think I'd rather go to Japan. My first trip to Japan, I'd like to go with the one true love.
Yeah. Your wrestling is your one true love.
Yeah, Ollie Davis is my one true love, really. Wrestle Kingdom is my one true love.
Wrestle Kingdom specifically is my one true love.
And really, I want to go to Japan because I want to see Godzilla stuff. New Japan stuff comes second
The wife is really sliding in there like...
Well, I'm going to see Godzilla stuff with
third
her.
Third place. I see you all the time.
I don't get to see Godzilla in person. Anyway, back to Marcel's letter. I was so inspired by the Italian food delivery you've received by one of the pod swafters, sorry mate, forgot your name, that I thought, why not do the same thing? All the products in this box are produced and manufactured more or less close to my hometown.
Oh, wicked.
They are typical for Swabia, the region of Germany I'm living in. Sadly, this delivery does not include that much food, but focuses more on drinks. You made the right call there. I heard you like beer. We do. On the next pages, there is a brief overview of the items in this box, how you eat / drink them, or other useful information, which would have been handy with the pasta that we ate. Hope you enjoy every little thing that's in this box. I'd love to hear your feedback from you, what you've enjoyed, what not, and what was strange, but I'm pretty sure you'll be able to get it. Tell me in person when we meet together with Dan at WXW 16 Karat Gold 2019. Winky face emoticon. Love, Marcel. P.S. Thank you guys for every single episode you produce. You actually feel like buddies of mine. That's because we are buddies of yours, man.
Hey,
and you are buddies of ours. We very much look forward to meeting you.
That's our friend, buddy.
When Ollie comes back into the studio tomorrow from all of his business, maybe we should do it on Thursday when we're both in, and we can make the we can make a pitch to go to 16 Carat next year.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think we should definitely do it. So yeah,
I'll put the tickets.
Ah, look at this. Swabian noodles. Those are Swabian noodles. Often they are handmade, and yes, my mum trained me how to do them myself. Wow. They're made with lots of eggs, not good for vegans, and you can eat them as a side dish with a steak, not good for vegetarians, or anything similar. And sauce, you can eat them with sausages, maybe vegetarian ones, lentils, lovely, and vinegar, or if you do, as I prefer, Kässpätzle, with lots of cheese and onions, similar to mac and cheese. Word by word translation, small sparrows.
There's literally English written on the back of this.
Is there really?
Yeah, we could have worked this out.
Does it say not crisp?
Preparation.
Do not try.
Place pasta in plenty of boiling salted water and stir occasionally. Do not place pasta into your mouth.
Do you know what the problem is? The problem is I got far too excited with the possibility of Foley that I was like, crisp we can eat. Yes, so we've also got some Swabian pockets. Basically, they are Swabian cannellini, which is what Ollie thought they might be. But to be honest, they are much more. Remember that joke from Forrest Gump where they talk about how you can prepare shrimps? It's similar to Maltaschen. You can boil them in broth, or you can cut them and fry them together with eggs and onions. There are many ways to prepare them, but those are the most common. They are also called man, I'm not very good. I got a B in German at GCSE, but all of it has gone from my vocabulary. I can't remember what you call those Bs now.
That's double S. Gottbescheißler.
Anyway,
Gottbescheißler.
God cheater, because you could hide meat in them. That's right, they're not necessarily vegetarian. The red ones contain meat, the orange ones are vegetarian, and the purple ones are even vegan. Thank you very much for pointing that out so I know which ones.
Veganer Maltaschen.
Lovely stuff. Word by word translation, mouth pockets.
Delicious. Excellent. Mouth pockets.
I do love the chocolate, by the way. The chocolate bar that you sent across. Not the one, the cornflakes, or the one with yogurt. I ate pretty much all of.
It gone now.
Oh, it was amazing.
Feel free to send more.
Good Lord, it was nice. I would go to Germany just to buy more of it. It was absolutely incredible. We did drink the green can.
Oh, yes.
Where is
Waldmeister Ahodgebrauser.
Yes, so I've got that here. It's a candy soda in many different flavors. In German nightclubs, you can order the soda bag filled with vodka. Yes, that's a thing. But as a child, I just filled my mouth with a bag full of load of it to feel it pop. Maybe that's this stuff.
Oh, this
here.
Stuff.
That's that
yes.
stuff there. Sorry. Aha. There you go, because he does continue.
Yeah, so this is the same thing, but not in canned form.
That's what we figured, because it's got the same logo on it.
Yes.
And we thought
this
it might...
creepy little boy.
I said to Wally that it looked like German Soda Stream. And
Yes.
So there's a flavor called Waldmeister in it, and this is where I became curious. I've never met someone who knows this taste from outside of Germany, and there is no better translation than Woodruff. If you don't know it yet, you might taste something you've never experienced. Side to the taste, it's pretty unique. And
does that mean we're drinking it and describing the flavor?
Well, I have some. This is and we found out afterwards. It is luminous green. It's
Woodruff.
Yes. Well, it's Waldmeister as an energy drink. Enjoy. I can't explain the taste. I assumed it was going to be lime, but I genuinely cannot explain that taste. All I can tell you is that it made me thirsty. Do you see what I mean?
That's so weird.
It eats up all the saliva in your mouth.
It draws it out and then it's like... Oh, what is that flavour?
Well, it's Woodruff.
Mm.
Whatever Woodruff is.
It tastes like licking an air freshener is what it tastes like.
Yeah. So we're going to pine trees. We're going to drink the mulled wine that you've sent us. We're going to have that on the Christmas show. In fact, we're actually going to have all the beer because, as I said, I got super excited when we did the outro last time because this Rothaus Pils, this was in Beer 52 last month.
Oh, was it?
And it is an amazing, delicious beer. It was one of my favourites in the whole box. It was absolutely sensational. So we're going to have that mulled wine. He gives us instructions on how to do it, which we're going to struggle to do because we do not have a oven here or a... maybe we could try doing the microwave, but I don't know if that's going to be
what's
the...
What's a mullet?
Yeah, because he says you need to drink, you heat it up, not boil, and he's put 3 exclamation points there.
So why don't we just... we'll take the coffee thing off. And we'll just whack it on the coffee thing.
Well, that would boil it then.
No, not the one upstairs. Like the little hot plate that the purple coffee sits on.
Good shout, mate. Mm. Yeah, good shout.
Not just a pretty face.
Yeah. And then put the wine into a pot and drink it in a cup.
Sadly, all of my ingenuity is around alcohol. It's
the word-by-word translation is glowing wine. So, yeah, we're going to have that on the Christmas show along with those beers.
Is there anything that doesn't glow in this?
And we're going to have the white wine that was sent to us by Niccolo also on that Christmas show, which, as day by day goes, I'm very much looking forward to our Christmas show.
When are we recording it?
When are we recording it? Have I got the schedule up, actually? We are recording it on the 20th.
Ooh. And then it Monday?
It's a Thursday.
On Thursday,
it's a Thursday, which, unfortunately, then I've got to come in the following day, which is after our Christmas party to edit it. Yeah. But that's going up on Christmas Day, so you can see us, Marcel, enjoying it in actual full view of yourself, unless you are just a pod swatter, in which case you can listen to us enjoy it. But that is all we have got time for on this show. But before we go, let's see if anything was sent to us in the joke bag. Now, I made a bit of an error in last week on Saturday's podcast, which I actually edited out because I did make such a silly mistake. So Paul Young sent us in an email with some jokes, but because he'd labelled the email Cardiff Club Jokes for Podcast,
right.
I assumed he was only going to make jokes about Cardiff Football Club.
Right, yes.
And I was like, that's very niche. Mm. I don't think the majority of our audience are going to get that. But he does also send in other jokes that are just cheese related. So here's his email. Hey guys, long time podcast listener, currently listening to Saturday's podcast from the 24th of November. Completely marked out when, I think he means Luke, but he's written like. When like mentioned, he'd been in Cardiff, which is where I work, just outside of Caerphilly, like the cheese. Caerphilly is where my wife's nan lives.
Oh.
Bloody love it in Caerphilly. They've just had a Wetherspoons open up. It's changed their lives. Honestly, it has changed their lives.
It was big, but they probably lost a lot when Woolworths shut.
Yeah, can you believe we didn't go down there and get a Kerry club for only a fiver? The club he was in sounds like Retros, which is the cheesiest club in town. I don't think it was called Retros. Basically, I was talking about that. It was when we were on Dan John Stag Do, and he was dressed up as a Dalek.
Yes.
What was that club we were in? The one with all the multiple floors.
Oh, that's cool. It's just called Welsh Club.
That's right. It was just called Welsh Club. There's one, down by Chippy Alley.
Yes.
Yes. Lovely time we had in there. I watched the NXT TakeOver for a bit. Ollie would love it. Brackets. Hopefully won't make him ill like the 10 kilograms of Italian cheese did. Oh, it made him ill. Based on all the cheese references, though, I thought I would share some terrible cheese jokes / puns. A tornado destroyed a French cheese factory. All it left was debris. I was walking down the street the other day when this kid threw some cheese at me. I thought, that's not very mature. What cheese do you get to coax a bear from a tree? Come on, bear. My girlfriend thinks it's hilarious to steal my soft, creamy cheese. The laughing cow. That's very much a British one.
That is very British, yeah.
And fine. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not a good joke. But that, yes, we'll end on that one. Thank you very much for all of your jokes. Thank you for your Rusev haze. We're actually out of Rusev haze. If you can send in more, that would be very much appreciated.
If you could hurry up and meet some people, for crying out loud.
Come on, meet some peeps. We are going to dig into some agony art tomorrow, I think, because we've got quite the backlog of them, and I'm a bit worried that people... I think we've been ignoring them or have ignored their suggestions. So we're going to have more from that tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for downloading. And we'll see you tomorrow on the SmackDown review. Apparently, Daniel Bryan's going to have something to do on it. So let's find out what that... Oh, and he's got a Miz TV segment. Mm-hmm. Lovely stuff. Here, thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Love you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.